I stand amazed.
Number 186.
We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he loved me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the
Number 514. Singing Redemption Song, number 514. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Angels are singing redemption sweet song, wonderful theme, glorious theme. Shout the glad message and join in the throng, singing redemption song. Sing a sweet story, redemption sweet song. Over and over the chorus prolong, shout the glad message and join the throng. Ever we'll sing praise to the King, singing redemption song. Oh, 574. The Glory Land Way, number 574. I'll try this song, even though it is pitched in sharps. Verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land.
Oh, 453. O Christian, do not hide your light,
for ye are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world.
Rule of all nature, Okay, the scripture reading tonight will be from Nehemiah, chapter 13, verses 23 through 27. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 27. I'll be reading from the New American Standard update. In those days I also saw that the Jews had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. As for their children, half spoke in the language of Ashdod, and none of them was able to speak the language of Judah, but the language of his own people. So I contended with them, and cursed them, and struck some of them, and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, "You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take of their daughters for your sons or for yourselves." Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations there was no king like him, and he was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin. Do we then hear about you, that you have committed all this great evil by acting unfaithfully against our God, by marrying foreign women? That's Nehemiah 13, 23 through 27.
Thank you, Randy, for reading that section of Scripture. I hope all of you have an outline of my lesson this evening, because that outline is kind of a shortened version of my lesson. But what's important is I wanted all of you to have all of those verses with those citations in front of you that we're going to be referring to, where the Greek word koinonia is used in the New Testament. So my version that I'll have up here on the screen will be maybe about four or so slides longer than what you have in front of you. But I've chosen tonight the topic, Fellowship and the Language of Ashdod. I have a reason for choosing that topic this evening, because this is a subject, fellowship, that it seems like, in particular, over the last couple of years, that Mickey and I have had to deal with those who are outside the church and some who are in the church, members of the church. Now, oftentimes we've taught here that when we speak, we must speak as the Bible speaks. Where the Bible's silent, we must be silent. To call Bible things by Bible names. In other words, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, that if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If we call Bible things by Bible names, if we use Bible terms according to the original New Testament Greek language, we're going to avoid the language of Ashdod. We're going to ensure that our practices here are scriptural. But a great number of people in the religious world today have lost the meaning
of the word fellowship, as it's used in the Bible. And when I use the word lust, this is exactly what I mean by the phrase, the language of Ashdod. And I'll have an example of that later. Many have become comfortable with using the term to describe, in modern-day English, if you will, a get-together, a hangout. I've heard that term used. A visit with. A good time. So we've added to the work of the church by using the term fellowship in that way. We've added, and what has crept into the work of the church are social and recreational activities under the guise of the misuse of the word fellowship. So, what does the Bible mean? How is the word fellowship used in the Bible? And in order to approach this subject, let's first back up and understand what we mean by the phrase, the language of Ashdod. You might recall that in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, as the children of Israel are preparing to enter the land of Canaan, I think in about the first 4 or 5 verses, God very plainly forbids them to intermarry with the people of that are inhabiting the land of Canaan. But as you heard in the reading of Nehemiah, what happened a few hundred years later was that King Solomon married women of the very peoples that God had forbidden them not to intermarry with. So, God tells the children of Israel, do not intermarry with the peoples of the land of Canaan. Now, later on, we see that, I think in 1 Kings chapter 11, about the first 4 verses again of that chapter in 1 Kings, we see that Solomon married foreign women or strange women from these peoples, having some 700 wives and 300 concubines, and they turned his heart from the Lord. They turned his heart to other gods. And so we have idolatry being introduced to Israel. And that ultimately led to the destruction of Israel and Judah by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And then, as you heard in the scripture reading in the 13th chapter of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is very upset, very disgruntled, exasperated by this sin of marrying, of intermarrying with foreign women. He's upset with the sin. He's upset with the consequences of the sin, because the consequences of the sin are that what? half of the children from these marriages speak the language of Ashdod instead of speaking the language of the Jews. Now here's the point. Language is central to and at the core of the culture of any people. Language is a system of communication. It's learned. It's not inherited. Words have specific meanings assigned by a language. But these children of the Israelites spoke the language of Ashdod. And how ironic that was, because not only was this a consequence of their sin, of their father's sin against God, not only did they not speak the language of the Jews, but they spoke the language of Ashdod, a city of the Philistines, the historical enemy of the people of God. That must have been like we would say, or use the expression, like sticking a knife in Nehemiah and turning it. They spoke the language of historical enemies of the children of Israel. Now I have a scripture reference up here, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. To make the point that Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "But we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things which were freely given to us by God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words." The very words of the New Testament, the very original New Testament Greek, Koine Greek words are inspired. Not just the ideas, as some falsely want to teach, but the very words are inspired. And unlike modern-day languages where words can change their meaning over time, where words in the English language, for instance, have changed their meaning from, say, the time of when the King James Version was written until now, for instance, the word conversation in King James English meant your culture, your way of life, whereas conversation today means speaking to one another. I believe you'll find that the New Testament Greek language is a dead language. Those meanings of those words cannot change. So if we change the meaning of biblical words, what we do is we adulterate and change the meaning that Scripture conveys. Excuse me. Now, let me use my favorite example to illustrate this. For quite some time in the religious world, the use of the word pastor, that's been used by the religious world to refer to whom? To the preacher of a congregation. Well, we see in the New Testament um, Specifically in Ephesians 4 and 11, we see the word pastor used there. But pastor is referring to the office of an elder. We see that in the New Testament, in for instance, Acts 14 and 23, Acts 20 and 17, that there's always a plurality of elders. Their qualifications are divinely set forth in the Scriptures. And their task is shepherding the congregation. So, the point is, when people use the word pastor to refer to the preacher, see, they're employing the language of Ashdod. They're changing the meaning of a Bible term. See, when we don't use the language of the Bible, when we use another language, one that is not inspired, then we're using the language of Ashdod. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the phrase, the language of Ashdod. We're not calling Bible things by Bible names and Bible terms. So back to our original question, how's the word fellowship used in the Bible? I believe you'll find it used some 20. The word fellowship will be the original Greek word koinonia will be used about 20 times in the New Testament. 12 times translated fellowship. And Thayer's lexicon defines koinonia as fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, the share which one has in anything, intimacy, the right hand as a sign and pledge of fellowship, a gift jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution. I keep moving the wrong way. So the word koinonia, again, is used about, translated about 12 times as fellowship. And I'm basing this on the King James Version. Communion 4 times, communication once, contribution once, distribution once, and is rendered to communicate once. So those are the English translations of the Greek word koinonia. What we need to recognize is about how fellowship is used in the Bible is that the word koinonia, the original Greek word, is used exclusively regarding spiritual matters and the work of the church in the New Testament. Now, let's take a quick look at the references I had about a couple of screens ago, the citations of all those verses. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, this scripture is about the fact that the gospel so took hold in the lives of these first converts that they continued steadfastly in their worship of God And that was expressed by Luke in the apostles' teaching, the fellowship or partnership in their common cause, or the gospel, the breaking of bread, or in other words, the Lord's Supper, and prayers. And in Romans 15:26, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." This is where Paul's on his third journey. He's going around the eastern half of the Mediterranean world, taking up a collection that he's going to take to Jerusalem for the needy saints in Jerusalem. So this is a sharing with Christians in the spiritual work of benevolence. That's how the word contribution or koinonia is being used here. This is in the context of the work of the church. And in 1 Corinthians 9, "You were called into the fellowship of His Son." Well, of course, that's a spiritual relationship. 1 Corinthians 10:16, talking about the Lord's Supper. "Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" This is talking about our joint participation in the observance of the Lord's Supper. This is a spiritual matter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, "What communion has light with darkness?" These verses talk to us about who we can be in fellowship with and who we cannot be in fellowship with. What communion, what koinonia has light with darkness? This is a spiritual communion. We're not to be unequally yoked together. Light and darkness are not to be unequally yoked together. Second Corinthians 8 and 4, "We would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." This again is in the context of Paul's third journey, taking up a collection for the saints, the poor saints in Jerusalem. This fellowship here is about the contribution for those poor saints in Jerusalem. This is a work of the church. The same circumstances apply in 2 Corinthians 9 and 13. "For your liberal distribution," there's the word koinonia, distribution. This is the work of benevolence to saints, the work of the church. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, "The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is referencing the spiritual relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 2, 9, which we've studied on Wednesday night, "They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we would go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." This references the agreement to participate jointly in the preaching of the gospel. Paul and Barnabas would go to the Gentiles, Peter, James, and John to the Jews. This is about preaching, spreading the gospel. This is about spiritual matters. The right hand of fellowship. Ephesians 3:9, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Here we have reference in this scripture to the eternal purpose of God, clearly a spiritual matter. Philippians 1:5, "I thank my God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." This is about the Philippian support of Paul when Paul was preaching the gospel, a spiritual work, and also work of the church, spreading the gospel. Philippians 2:1, Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, an obvious reference to spiritual participation. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Participation in the suffering of Christ, a spiritual participation. Philemon 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. The communication or sharing of our faith with others. Some versions actually translate koinonia with the word sharing or share, I believe. With others, this is a spiritual blessing which edifies them. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. This communication is a pleasing sacrifice to God. Communication is a sacrifice, a spiritual matter. John 1, 1 John 1 and 3, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. References to our spiritual relationships to God and to each other. 1 John 1, 6 through 7, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, talking about our spiritual relationships with God and with each other. So never in the Scriptures do we find the word fellowship used to refer to a gathering for social, entertainment, or recreational purposes. We simply don't find that. The original Greek word koinonia always refers to spiritual matters and to the work of the church. To describe a social, an entertainment, or recreational event as fellowship is to use the language of Ashdod. Several years ago, I think probably 6 months or a year after Bruce had placed membership here with us, I was at a council meeting in California City. And there were some in there who knew that I was a member of Fifth Street East. There were members from a congregation in California City there. And again, this was a Tuesday evening. And during a break in the council meeting, two of them invited me to come over to the house of one of them after the council meeting. And he used words. He said, can you come over? We're going to have a fellowship after the city council meeting. And so I thought I would go and see what this fellowship was about or what they were referring to as a fellowship. Well, what it was visiting with each other and having some cake and or pie and a cup of coffee. That's how they termed fellowship. To them, that was fellowship. But as you see, that concept is not found in the Bible. It's not found in the New Testament. Not at all. Now, the Greek word koinonia, fellowship, it refers to our spiritual relationship with God, the Father, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with one another. As Christians, as we all participate together in the gospel. in the work of the church. I realize that this lesson, well, it hasn't been designed to teach someone what they need to do to become a member of the church, to become a member of that one body that you read about in the New Testament, what to do to be saved. But we want you to know that it's our desire here that we want to assist you in every way we can for salvation. You need to know that the pattern we see in the New Testament for those first converts that we talked about earlier, they heard the Word of God. They believed. They repented of their sins. They confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. They were buried with Christ in baptism. And if you've done that, but you haven't, as we saw in the last verse that we quoted in 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7, if you haven't walked in the light, if you haven't continued walking by faith in the Word as you should, you have the opportunity to repent of that situation this evening. So if you would, whatever your need is, please come forward and as we stand and sing the song which has been selected.
Who follow Jesus, standing for the bride, holy God, the banner in the faith is by, listening for His orders, pray to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways, working for the Master, giving Him the praise, earnest in His vineyard, honoring His laws, faithful to His counsel, watchful for His cause. Who will follow Jesus? Why, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in His work and love, leading others, hearing, lifting prayers above, courage, faithful servant,